Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Isaiah chapter 29, and it says, "Woe to Ariel." Now, Ariel, the word means lion of God, and you might remember that the lion is a symbol of the tribe of Judah, and Jerusalem is in the region of the Judah kingdom, the southern kingdom. So we're talking about Jerusalem here. Woe, Ariel, the city where David once camped. And year to year, observe your feasts on schedule. I will bring distress to Ariel, and she will be a city of mourning and moaning. Now, the Assyrian Empire is coming in, taking over the northern kingdom, and is going to come very close to taking over Judah and Jerusalem. But God is going to spare at the end before that takes place. And she will be like an Ariel to me. And I will camp against you and encircling you, and I will fortify siege works against you. This is the Assyrian Empire likely being referred to here. And I will raise up fortifications against you. Then you will be brought low. Imagine the fear if you had all these siege works lining up against you. From the earth you will speak, and from the dust where you are prostrate, your words will come, your voice will also be like that of a spirit from the ground, and your speech will whisper from the dust. And look what's going to happen. God's going to spare them. But it will be that the multitude of your enemies will become like fine dust, and actually Assyria is going to be taken or destroyed or defeated, would be a better word, by God before it takes over Jerusalem. And the multitude of the ruthless ones like the chaff which blows away. And it will happen instantly, suddenly, and it was quite miraculous how God did it. From Yahweh of hosts, you will be punished with thunder and earthquake and loud noise, with whirlwind and tempest and the flame of a consuming fire. And it will be that the multitude of all the nations who wage war against Ariel, even all who wage war against her and her stronghold and who distress her, will be like a dream, a vision of the night. And it will be like as when a hungry man dreams and behold, he is eating. But he awakens and his soul is empty, or as when a thirsty man dreams and behold, he is drinking, but he awakes and behold, he is faint and his soul is not quenched. Thus, the multitude of all the nations will be who wage war against Mount Zion. That appears to be like prophetic too for the future, that, you know, those who come eventually to wage war against Mount Zion, against Jerusalem, will be defeated in the end times. And we may be moving forward to that time here in Isaiah's writing. Astonish yourselves and be astonished. Blind yourselves and be blind. They become drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For Yahweh has poured over you a spirit of deep sleep. He has shut your eyes, the prophets, and he has covered your heads, the seers. And it seems as though there was a time they just weren't hearing from God. The entire vision will be to you like the words of a sealed book, which when they give it to the one who is literate, saying, "Please read this," he will say, "I cannot read, for it is sealed." It's interesting, there's a sealed book, and you might recall the sealed book in the book of Revelation, which only Jesus was found worthy to open its seals. Then the book will be given to the one who does not know how to read a book, saying, "Please read this," and he will say, "I do not know how to read a book." Then the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but they remove their hearts from me, and the fear of me is in the command of men learned by rote." Now that's really interesting, and we hear that echoed by Jesus in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 7. And he's talking about empty, casual following of God, maybe following God by going through the motion, maybe showing up for church, but really having your heart be far from God. And it's interesting that Jesus quotes this passage. Let's read it again. "Because this people draw near with their mouth, but they don't really mean it. And they honor me with their lips, but they don't really mean it. But they remove their hearts far from me." Their heart's really not for me. "And their fear of me is in the command of men learned by rote." They're just saying things by rote. Kind of reminds me of my liturgical days when growing up. You learn to say certain prayers. You just learned them by rote, but you didn't really mean them, or at least that was what was true of me. And may God, may our devotion to you be from the heart. May we really love you and want to obey you. And I'll tell you, sometimes as you're doing your devotions like this, I mean, there may be days when you don't want to do it. There may be times when, you don't feel as close as other times, maybe times when you don't feel as vibrant as other times, but his mercies are new every morning, and it's important to every morning continue the journey, continue the fight, continue to pursue a relationship with God. And that warm feeling will return, but continue to be consistent. Don't allow yourself to turn away or become complacent or not spend time with God just because you're not feeling it like you are at other times. The consistency will work. It kind of reminds me of, I try to exercise, and there's certain days when you go for a run and it's just awful. You're like, why is my jog so bad today? Like, I feel like I've never ran before, or like I should be in better shape than this. But then, a different day you go running and nothing's really changed, but all of a sudden you just feel like you're I'm never truly the wind, trust me. But you feel kind of like you're running on the wind. You feel like, man, I just feel strong today. I feel fast today. I'm not getting as tired. And you know what? It's because you didn't quit in that hard day that you had a good day then. And that's how it's going to be sometimes in following God too. Just keep doing it. Keep doing what's right. Keep doing devotions to him, and one day you'll sense the sweetness of your relationship with him. Therefore, behold, verse 14, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously, marvelously. Now, this is actually almost like a play on words, because he's going to say, because they're far from me, this is what's going to happen. And the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the discernment of their discerning men will be hidden. Woe to those who deeply hide their counsel from Yahweh, and whose deeds are done in a dark place. Most sins done in the dark. Or most sin is done when no one's looking. And we make the mistake of thinking that God doesn't know, or that God does not see. And they say, who sees us? Or who knows? You turn things around, shall the potter be considered as equal with the clay? And we are the clay, and he is the potter. And no, we're not equal to him. That what is made would say to its maker, he did not make me. And we got to realize that we are part of God's creation. We're his masterpiece, actually. Or what is formed, say to him who formed it, he has no understanding. And it's amazing to me how man sometimes thinks they're wiser than God. Whenever you're getting into, oh man, just think of conversations even recently. Whenever you get into a situation where you think your way is wiser than God, you've got a problem. Listen, trust his word. Don't trust in your own understanding. Don't trust in the way that you think, the way your perspective. Don't you, We've all been polluted by the world, and we become worldly, and we think like the world. And instead, what we need to do is we need to trust God and his word, because he was formed should not say to the one who formed him, he has no understanding. We should not say to God, oh well, God would just catch up with the times. Man, we got to be careful to have that pride in our hearts like that. Instead, we got to just trust God. Be reverent towards his word. Is it not yet a little while before Lebanon will be turned into a fruitful orchard, and the fruitful orchard will be counted as a forest? On that day, the deaf will hear a words of a book. And this again seems to be pointing towards a messianic blessing. And out of darkness and thick darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. Hallelujah. And we saw a part of that messianic blessing when Jesus came to the world, and he made the deaf hear, and he made the blind see. The afflicted also will increase their gladness in Yahweh, and the needy of mankind will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless will come to an end. God's ultimately going to destroy those who don't believe in him. And the scoffer will be finished. Indeed, all who are watching out to do evil will be cut off, who cause a person to sin by a word, and ensnare him who reproves at the gate, and defraud the one in the right with meaningless arguments. And that's what people will try to do. They'll try to defraud those of us who believe in Jesus and want to stand in his word with meaningless arguments, because they're just not built on the same foundation. They're not built on the rock. They're not built on the word, and they just won't get it until they do. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, because he won't be living in sin apart from God. He'll be living in the proximity of God and doing what's right. And now his face shall not turn pale, but when he sees his children, the works of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name. They will see me as holy. Indeed, they will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and will stand trembling before the God of Israel, because God will be in our midst. Those who err in spirit will know discernment. We will all know him, from the least of them to the greatest, as it talks about, I believe, in Jeremiah 31. And those who criticize will gain learning. Ah, praise God, that those who criticize and that those who are who have erred, Lord willing, one day they will see that, you know what, we were trying to point them to Jesus the whole time. We were trying to point them to the Word the whole time. And you know what? That's rewarding when people see, eventually come to see, that what we've taught them was true and what we were arguing with them about was true. And it, they should have just heeded, like they should heed Isaiah. They should have just heeded what we had to say. They should have just heeded God's Word. And what a beautiful thing it'll be one day when those who mock and those who criticize one day come to understand that Jesus is the one true God. And that it is a blessing to believe in him and have life in his name. God bless you all.